It's Current State on WKAR. Welcome back. Each year, in honor of National Poetry Month here in April, the MSU Residential College in the Arts and Humanities Center for Poetry brings a series of poets to campus to conduct readings and workshops with the public. Current State welcomes Poetry Center Director Anita Skeen and the State of Virginia Poet Laureate Sophia Starnes to talk about wrapping up this year's festival. First of all, Sophia, welcome to Michigan.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
And Anita, nice to have you with
Thank
us
you.
As well. How was it Sophia became a part of this year's Poetry Festival, Anita?
Well, I'm teaching a course this semester in the Residential College in the Arts and Humanities, a 380 junior level tutorial, and I decided we would focus on Poets Laureate. So we wanted to have the U.S. Poet Laureate, Natasha Trethewey, whom we had several weeks ago, a City Poet Laureate, and a State Poet Laureate.
Okay.
So when I started looking around for State Poet Laureates, I discovered Sophia, whose work I really didn't know anything about. And when I read a book called Fully Into Ashes, I thought, this is it. This is who we want.
Forgive us for talking about you as if you're not here, Sophia. But what has your term as Poet Laureate in Virginia been like?
2 years. It's a 2-year term, and it's been wonderful. It's been exciting. It's been very, very busy. You go around the state. You get a chance to have a soapbox. You know, you feel like this is your moment. You better take advantage of it. This is when people listen. After that, they may not listen to you again. So I've always believed that next to writing my own poetry, connecting a poem to a reader is what I value the most, what I enjoy the most. I'm also an editor. So it just was a natural joy to have an opportunity to do that.
What kind of response do you get? What kind of random type responses do you get when you tell people you're a poet and you're the Poet Laureate for the state of Virginia? What's the general response to that?
Depends on who you're talking to, but the general response is, oh, we had a Poet Laureate, or what's that? A little bit like that. But then when you start talking a little bit about what you feel poetry is, and it's not an exclusive or elite thing for a few people, but something that's out there, then they open up and they say, well yeah, I remember a poem that I read, or I remember a poem. So then that's the opening.
And Anita, falling into ashes.
Fully into ashes.
Fully into ashes made quite an impression on you. How so?
It was different from a lot of the poetry that we were reading of other poets laureate, and it was very heavily imagistic and very, I mean, delicious language. I'm so eager to hear Sophia read tonight because I see these poems on the page, and the language and the images just goes cascading around all over the place. And it's poetry that requires work, but the payoff is great.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, Sophia, would you mind indulging us here in reciting a poem of yours?
I would be very happy to do that.
From Fully Into Ashes?
Actually, unfortunately, the book that I have here is from because I'm reading quite a number of poems from Fully Into Ashes tonight, I have Commerce of Moments, which is another of my books, but it's similar in the sense of language. And I believe in that poetry creates a country, and you're inviting people to get into that, to walk into that landscape, walk into the country with you. So that's what the words are, the part of the landscape. So you try to entice people. And this poem is called A Viable Goodbye, or Nunc Dimittis. And I brought it because it starts with daily images of my childhood growing up, but then it opens up and it starts putting in words and words of things I've seen and people I've known. And at the end, the realization of the poem is, I wouldn't be here if not for the others. Where did you get these words? You know, they're through the words of others that the poem is capable of being. So even though poetry is an isolated endeavor, you're never really alone. You're taking words from other people, your phrases.
Okay.
So if you want, I'll...
Identical
are daily movements into sleep. The bed lamp swiveled off, the sigh of shoulders idling into a place. We hollow out a cave for the left hip, and the left hand slips under the pillow with its beads dangerously tight. We've done this all our lives, since Papa crossed our foreheads with his thumb, pulling the sheets over our shoulders. Other things change. We do not drop raw egg into our soup or boil sweet onions. We walk barefoot, despite Mama's clear intonation. You must wear your slippers in the house. And sometime between 3 and 4, we rearrange a rosary. Our days are pure and plentiful. Hawks in a backyard roost, a starling arcs under a makeshift protection. A single lily pond, a single goldfish races the ripple, lip over lip until the coming eyes. We pluck, we pull, we repossess this word for that loquacious life, that word for unentangled hours. The neighbor's foxglove spring, the next door gutter pouring out its rain, the singular procession trickling by with its own widower. Once more, we open up the linen, peel after peel. We unroll the Blackstone litany, through them, with them, in them. So little have we done to call our own. So little.
A Viable Goodbye by Sophia Starnes, one of our guests here today on Current State. There's a real intimacy to that, mm-hmm. too, mm-hmm. that was really quite striking. Sophia, how do you know when a poem is finished? And what's the longest you've ever worked on a poem?
I'm still working on a poem that was published 10 years ago. I don't know. Sometimes some poems tell you that they're finished. But most of the time, was it Auden who said, poems are never finished, they're abandoned. You get to a point where you just can't do anything to this poem. And then you find out when you read it aloud to a group, something clicks and you say, oh, maybe that word was not quite right. So I don't have a very good answer for that. I think sometimes they tell you, but other times you just say, well, that's it. That's about as close as I can get.
Your anthology that came out in March is called The Nearest Poem Anthology, which talks about the multiple lives of poetry. What do you mean by that?
I think that a poem has a new life every time it is read by somebody else. There's nothing else I can do with this poem after I've written it and it's out. But every time somebody reads it, they give it a new life.
They take possession of it in a way.
And they echo it through their own life. And so in that book, each poem that is published has been submitted by a reader in Virginia that gave that poem a new life by reading it. And so they include a little essay that says, well, this poem means this much to me for this reason, and that's the new life of the poem.
We're talking with Virginia, State of Virginia Poet Laureate Sophia Starnes and the Poetry Center Director Anita Skeen of ARCA, the MSU Residential College in the Arts and Humanities Center for Poetry. Anita, Michigan is one of the few states that does not have a poet laureate. Why is that? What determines whether a state has a poet laureate or not?
Well, usually the legislature and the governor determine whether or not the state has a poet laureate. And we are beginning to work with some other groups. The Center for Poetry is around the state in thinking about what we can do to make a movement forward to see about establishing a poet laureate here for the state of Michigan. A number of groups of poets around town, the Old Town Poets, the Lansing Poetry Society, the Center for Poetry, and some in other parts of the state. I believe there are 44 states now that have poet laureates, six that don't. Does that add up to 50? Arizona just recently added a poet laureate for the first time, and they chose Alberto Rios for their first poet laureate, which was a wonderful choice. So we would like to very soon be able to say in the next couple of years, Michigan has a poet laureate, and this is who it is.
Anita, you also have recently published a new book of poetry with Laura DeLind, who's been in our program before,
yes.
Called The Unauthorized Audubon. What's that about?
Well, it's a collection of poems and linocuts. In addition to being an anthropologist, Laura is a wonderful visual artist, and she does these incredible linocuts. And through our friendship, we started a project where I would take one of the linocuts she had done and I would write a poem in response to it. And these all turned out to be birds. She is fabulous in her ability to create life through black and white ink. And so the book is a collection of 22 linocuts and poems about these imaginary birds. And my favorite part of the project was when she gave me the liner cut, I got to name the bird.
Oh, my. What an honor.
It was. It was marvelous. And then I wrote a poem. Sometimes the poem was a description of the bird. Sometimes the poem was about what the bird did. Or sometimes it was a link to my own experience with what that painting or line of cut reminded me of.
Anita, do you have some of your work with us? Would you indulge us?
I brought one of those poems, and since Easter is on the horizon this weekend, I thought I would read one called The Resurrection Birds. And it's called that because the little birds that Laura made the print of reminded me of these mourning doves who sit on the wire outside my house. And I've often thought, my mother has passed away, and two of my aunts also have, in a very short period of time. And there have been times when I look up and see those three mourning doves sitting on the wire, and I think of the three of them. So this is called The Resurrection Birds. They always come back this time of year like migratory birds whose out-of-whack radar sends them north, not south, when winter arrives. If there are three mourning doves huddled on the wire, I know Bee and Phyllis and Grace have flown in for the Christmas season, though my mother hated the cold weather, as did my aunts. They were raised in the mountains where, young working women, they posed in their wool coats and fur-topped high-heeled boots for the old black-and-white Kodak. Snow covered the ground around them. They pinched their collars tight against the wind. They cooed their laments about the weather. I hope there is sunshine now in their new home, some hot tea if the temperature drops, peppermint sticks, or lemon chiffon pie. They never appear as their whole selves these days. Just a glimpse of a hand with a thin gold band or a fuzzy blue sock. Like birds, they are quick, erratic, and often drop a feather. Like birds, once in flight, they cannot be called back.
The Resurrection Birds.
Anita
Skeen from, and I love the title, The Unauthorized Audubon. What a stroke of genius that is. As if anything could ever exist, but you and Laura created it. I know faith has played a role in your work, Sophia. Tell us about what your spiritual life has meant to your writing.
Very, very strong. I was raised in a Catholic family, and we moved. We left the Philippines in a state of political unrest and moved to a new country in Spain. And then after that, when I married my husband, I've lived in the United States in Virginia longer than I've lived anywhere in my life. But my faith is something that has taken me everywhere. It's a universal sense of the value of human life, the value of humanity as a creature, as a created creature with love sustaining. So when I never sit down to write a religious poem or a faith poem. It's just something that I carry inside me. So I find myself using liturgical images, or even that through them, with them, in them. It's actually a line. We say through you, with you, in you, and during the Mass. So that weaves its way mm-hmm. into the poems as a layered life, as that there's this life and then there's the other life, but it's not two separate lives. It's mm-hmm. an incarnate life. Then, so never explicitly for a particular faith, but just a sense of faith as a sustaining thing in my life.
There will be an informal conversation with Sophia Starnes this afternoon at 3 p.m. in Snyder Room C304, Snyder Hall C304. Later tonight at 7 p.m., Ms. Starnes will be giving a reading in the Arca Theater, that is Snyder C20. Anita Skeen will be reading from her new book with Laura DeLinde on The Unauthorized Audubon. I love that. Laura DeLinde on Thursday, May 1st at 7 p.m. at Schuller's in Okemos. We thank you both for joining us, and we hope
thank
you enjoy your stay.
Thank you very
Michigan.
Much for having us. It's been delightful.
Continued success.